and welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. On today's program, we catch up with the Red River Valley Veterans Memorial, how things are coming along on the ceremonial landmark that just broke ground near Love Civic Center in Paris, and what upcoming events they have to tribute to area veterans. I'll speak with a couple of members of the organization, Doug Weiberg and Chet Hillier. For today's Friday feature, Cindy Roller tells us about the journey of a living organ donor from the region. Those stories are coming up after this break. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
Oh! You are round MVP.
Yeah, man! Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way! That was some ownage.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
On November 9th at approximately 1 p.m., the Federal Emergency Management Agency will conduct a nationwide test of the emergency alert system. It will be heard on the radio and seen on local cable and satellite TV. As federal, state, tribal, territorial, and local governments prepare for and test their capabilities, this event serves as a reminder that everyone should establish an emergency preparedness kit and emergency plan for themselves, their families, communities, and businesses. Visit FEMA.gov for more information.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep from NPR News. I'm thinking of that New Yorker cartoon where one person at a party turns to another person at the party and says, "And that's not just my opinion, it's the opinion of somebody on NPR." Next time you're at a cocktail party, you can be ready for some scintillating conversation if you keep up with the news by listening in the mornings to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekdays at 5 a.m. on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
If the ladies were squirrels with high bushy tails, I'd load up my shotgun with rock salt and nails. And I tell you, friends, they just don't write lyrics like that anymore. But I know where you can hear them, right here on the Bluegrass Special. Sunday nights, 7 until 10, KETR 88.9, or on your computer at KETR.org.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR, and I'm joined now in studio by Doug Weiberg and Chet Hillier. Doug is the president of the Red River Valley Veterans Memorial, and Chet the vice president, and appreciate you both being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
The Red River Valley Veterans Memorial has been in existence for some time now. You guys have been working to erect this memorial to the veterans of Red River Valley, which encompasses six counties, four in Texas and two in Oklahoma. Describe the beginnings of the project and quickly bring us up to speed, and then we'll talk about some of the recent projects you guys have had.
Okay. We started about 2.5 years ago, and it was a memorial in Minnesota that gave us the idea and got us started and wanting us. We just couldn't get over the fact that we needed something like that in our area. And we've worked really hard, and as of about a month ago, we started seriously building it. They're out there doing the foundations and putting up the front wall even as we speak. So, but it's been a long, hard pull, but it's been the most wonderful project that you could ever think of. People have supported it so well. To date, we've collected more than $460,000, which puts us close to halfway to the final price. The support we've had from businesses, from Rotary clubs, from individuals, is just wonderful.
Doug came out to my office. I'm the former Lamar County Veteran Service Officer. And he came out, and I had not met Doug, and he wanted to talk to me about something. And he comes in and sits down and gets to talking about this memorial that he has in mind. And I signed on with him because of being a veteran and just to see what was going on. This is his brainchild. We have supported Doug in this thing, and it's really begun to take off. And its purpose is to educate. You know, you can build beautiful things, but unless it tells a story, it's really not of value. But we've come a long way. Doug, myself, and the architect flew to Minnesota, looked at theirs, got some ideas from their committee, came back, and we have been selling pavers and special pavers and talking to corporations. We've gotten good support. I do not know of any person that we have personally talked to who has not supported us in this. And that's become a reality. When you see 22 tons of concrete to hold up a wall, it's finally beginning to take the shape we want it to, and it's going to be wonderful for the future.
You talk about the educational aspect, and that is really shining through here as of late with some of the projects you've done, even last year, and then some of the physical items I can hold in my hand that show what you guys have done from an educational aspect. Tell us about the Pennies for Patriots campaign, which is one of the several that you've done.
Pennies for Patriots, which was started another one of our committee members who is a real go-getter. You don't ask Pat Eager to do something mm-hmm. you don't really want done. She went to all of the third grade classes last year, and she got all of the teachers involved, and she had the kids draw thank you notes to be given to our veterans at our USA show the 12th of this month. But they drew really nice thank you notes for their service, and they all agreed to pick a veteran in Texas. It would have been a Texas Revolutionary veteran mm-hmm. whose family is gone now. And these kids agreed to collect pennies to buy that particular veteran a $300 paver. And that's why they call it Pennies for Patriots. To date, I think they've got 37 of them bought. In Oklahoma, of course, they're really connected to the World War I, World War II code talkers. Mm-hmm. And so those kids are buying pavers for some of the historical code talkers. And it's just been a great project. And then what Pat did was she got together and got all of those pictures from all of the 27 schools and made up a calendar, which we are now selling and will be selling at our Veterans Day thing November 12th. But it shows these thank you notes that all of the kids made up.
You had a chance to pass out these calendars to several veterans that were leaving for Afghanistan out of Paris on Tuesday, and describe the situation for us.
That morning as we gathered, there were kids running everywhere. I think more kids than there were troops. And as the unit went into formation, then Doug went up front with Pat Eager, and each kid was given a calendar. And they were just all in and out of the troops giving them the calendars. And I saw some hugs, saw an awful lot of pictures. And then we had included a letter in there with them that we loved them and wished them the best. But it was really an exciting thing, and it's just something that lets the kids know that freedom is not free, is what our primary goal.
Very, very important for us to teach this generation and future generations that freedom isn't free, and a lot of their family gave a lot for their freedom.
I think that, again, is ringing true if you just look at this calendar. Obviously, this is something that the kids were able to understand and then draw from that understanding of how this works and, you know, why these troops are going overseas for us.
Yeah, that's right. And it's these same kids that drew these pictures that were there to meet the troops Tuesday morning.
That's great.
And they really enjoyed it. Actually, there was just 37 troops or 35 troops from our area, mm-hmm. but there are 175, 180 some going out of Dallas Airport. And so we actually printed up or gave them each one of the 180 troops a calendar.
As veterans yourselves, first of all, I would like to have you briefly describe your experience in the military, but tell me what it feels like as a veteran to be able to have a hand in this event and what it's ultimately going to turn out to be, educational level, and then this memorial that we'll have erected hopefully very soon.
My vision of it is the fact that I'm from the Vietnam era, and when we came home, we were not welcomed that well. There seemed to be a big misconception about, and no wars are good, let's put it that way. I think everybody knows that. But this is just something now that I think those veterans will appreciate, and maybe we can teach others to appreciate the sacrifice that not only does the service member have to make, but his family. My time in the service, the first cycle was on submarines. Sometime we may never know when we're getting underway. I always had to be prepared. I would tell my wife, I may be home or I may not. And we would go out, leave out on patrol at any time. So it's just something that I think this memorial means so much to me, because as you walk through it, you will see and feel how many people have really served this country, because we know that all gave some and some gave all. And we don't ever have that to be forgotten.
Doug, your feelings.
Well, I spent 4 years in Strategic Air Command in the Air Force. I spent a good deal of those 4 years inside the wings, fuel tanks of B-52 bombers. So I'm a little fuzzy-headed still from that. But we're going to create a place that is quiet, beautiful, and private, a place to sit and reflect about your family members that served you. And the fact that you, for instance, maybe had somebody in World War II. And veterans don't talk much about their activities, but you would see a paver with, say, your dad's name on it or your grandpa's name, and it would say what branch of service he was in and whether he was in peacetime or was in World War II in Korea or whatever. But then you'll also see a granite wall. You'll see actually 12 of them. And they're all dedicated to 12 different wars that have happened since the Texas Revolution. And you'll be able to look at the World War II wall, and there will be a etched piece of granite that will have pictures of it to let you see. There will be statistics for the total war and statistics as they relate to our area. It's a real visual education.
You actually have given me a picture of the proposed site here, and I think you can get this through your website, rrvvm.com.
True.
Which it's just a massive project. You look at this, and it really puts into perspective how much effort needs to go into this in order for it to work. I'm speaking with Doug Weiberg, president of the Red River Valley Veterans Memorial, Vice President Chet Hillier with me, and some of the other campaigns that you've done. Within the last couple of months, there was an auction. Tell us how that was received.
The car club that Doug is a member of, what they call it, the Red River Valley Honkers or something.
Yeah, that's right.
They redid a Dodge 66 model Dodge, I believe.
Dodge Charger,
and it turned out beautifully. And we sold raffle tickets for $15 a piece, and we earned $35,000 for the memorial. Last year, we had a gun dealer who gave us a M1 Garand. A lot of people don't realize that many of the companies who built these weapons, and this particular weapon wasn't antique. It was built by International Harvester. They stopped making farm equipment during the war and started building these weapons. Guy gave us one. We raffled that off. This year, the same dealer gave us a 30-30 rifle, which would be raffled off. Along with a vintage knife from World War II that we have. So a lot of exciting things are taking place, and funds are needed. When we get through, you're probably looking at $1.5 million or maybe $2 million, because we've had a lot of gifts in kind, too, from our sponsors around the area. So we're real proud of what's taking place.
The Veterans USA show will be your next benefit, and that's taking place Saturday, November 12th. And let's just talk a little bit about this. You have a Bob Hope impersonator to headline the event, some other activities there. Just tell us about it.
Now, a lot of people look at that guy and said they think we got Bob Hope out of his grave, but he's not. And he's coming from Las Vegas, and he's done this many a time. And we also have those pretty little girls.
Dixie Bells.
Dixie Bells. Just to tell you how, again, how good people have been, Walmart is providing donuts for all of our veterans. Our local coffee shop, the Cozy Cappuccino, is providing coffee for everybody that day at 10:30 in the morning. And as you can see on our flyer, it's going to be in people from Oklahoma. Code Talkers are going to be there talking about Code Talkers. All of these young fourth graders that raise these pennies, they'll be there turning in the pennies.
There'll also be some Indian dancers will be there also.
Yeah. Choctaw Youth Dancers
will be there. Good. Of course, our representatives will be there. And Patriots Group out of even out of Hopkins County is going to participate with the Honor Guard. Yeah. And it's really going to be an exciting day, and it's all totally free. And everyone is invited.
So just show up.
Just show up. This is all we're asking. Yes, there is no charge for this show. The nice thing about the USO part, which would be related to USO, is the Army is going to set up two tents for us, and there are vintage military vehicles that will be parked in the area. And then, as Doug said, Walmart's providing the donuts, and that will be a coffee and donut tent, just like they had during that era. So I think it's going to be exciting.
It's from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., again, November 12th at the Love Civic Center Pavilion at 2025 South Collegiate Drive in Paris.
Right next to the Eiffel Tower with the cowboy hat on it.
And you can see some of the ground being turned over
where you're beginning construction on the
Red River Valley Veterans Memorial is what we're talking about. You know, with these future campaigns, with your current activities planned, when do you feel like you may be close to being done with this project?
First of all, you have to understand that the whole project is the size of a football field.
Mm-hmm.
And there is room for 3,500 veterans, which I'll be dead and gone, but they'll sell 3,500 pavers for those veterans. We've already sold 650, and we haven't even opened it yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to have stage one, which, of course, is the wall across the front, the first walkway that comes into with the 700 pavers, and the Ring of Honor, which is the centerpiece of our memorial, and that will have all of the names in the six-county area of veterans that were killed in action or died from wounds received in action. That's stage one, and we're shooting for a ribbon cutting for that stage on Memorial Day next year.
Great.
Then it will be continuous from then on.
Mm-hmm.
The front wall will be up by then, and we can landscape the front portion, and they can do the construction work from the back as we continue to grow. So it's really looking good. But like Doug says, Memorial Day next year, we hope to dedicate the first phase.
And we're hoping, we've invited him, we haven't got a yes or no yet, but we're hoping that President Bush comes for our ribbon cutting.
Excellent. Well, there's a lot of progress being made, still a lot of work to be done. You guys have done an excellent job in getting the ball rolling here, and I applaud you for your efforts. I thank you for your service. I want to give you one last opportunity. Just in the amount of time that you've been working on this, I'm sure, and you've said that the public's been very responsive, very encouraged to help in any way they can. Some of the things that stick out when you've talked to maybe some of the families of you know, veterans who are going to be honored in this memorial, what comes to mind?
Well, I can tell you, when it was just an idea, I went and talked to a group that puts on the 4th of July parade to see where we're having our wrap-up meeting. I just had a rough drawing, and I explained it to them after the wrap-up meeting. I said, give me an idea, guys. What do you think about this? And one of the committee members said, well, Doug said, where are you going to put this? And I said, it's just a concept now. And about that time, the head of the Chamber of Commerce piped up and says, that's going to be right next to the Civic Center, right next to the Eiffel Tower. That's where it needs to be. I knew right then this was going to happen.
As we started, we had meeting after meeting, challenge after challenge. We would get to a certain point, and it seemed like we were being blocked. we would get to a certain point of saying we needed this paperwork. And this paperwork would seem forever to come through. And I don't have a lot of patience, but Doug has none at all. And he is, God bless him, I wish the architect would hear, because Doug has driven him nuts. But we've had so much support. And I think that's what's really gotten me excited, because as the veterans counselors, people would come in. I heard about what y'all are doing. Can I get an application? I think it's time. I believe that the people will support it, and people have. They have really supported us in this, and I think when those walls go up, then I think it'll really start blossoming as far as, hey, there's something there. And it's just a good feeling to know that we've gotten this far and we'll finish.
I'll tell you one more thing about Mr. Denny Architects. And I went and talked to him about this and told him I sure wanted him to help me. And he says, I'd like to do this. And I said, well, David, how much do you think it's going to cost? And he thought for a minute and he says, oh, he says, you'll probably get a bill for $25,000, but you'll get a check to cover it too. That's the kind of help we've had.
Mm-hmm. Scott, we have had, I think, what's really exciting is guys like, and some people, a lot of people know him in the area, like Don Wall, David Denny. It's just, and I know that we'll probably not name someone we should, but there are so many people that are involved in this thing. When we have our committee meeting, we fill up a room. There must be 20 and 25 in there. And then you have other people in different counties. But it has really been something to really feel good about. And we're looking forward to having you come up and visit with us. And we'll certainly make sure we send you an invitation for our ribbon cutting.
Yeah, I look forward to it, guys.
Good. Okay.
It's the Red River Valley Veterans Memorial, and a lot of fundraisers to help with this event and just ways to honor veterans in the Red River Valley. And taking place next Saturday, it's the USA Show, and that's over at the Love Civic Center Pavilion at 2025 South Collegiate Drive in Paris. It's from 10:30 until 12:30. They can find more information through some of the chambers, probably through your website, rrvvm.com. Also, ways to donate to the Veterans Memorial through your website. Doug Weiberg, the president of the Red River Valley Veterans Memorial, Vice President Chet Hillier with me, and I appreciate you so much for coming by, and thank you for your service.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we sure thank you for having us.
This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. We'll take a break and come back with our Friday feature after this.
This is Sherry Gardner. Public radio listeners are lifelong learners, from continuing ed to studying for advanced degrees. If your organization offers these opportunities, consider becoming a program sponsor on KETR. Our listeners could be your learners. Call 903-513-9684 for more information.
Coming up on Monday on Lions After Dark, we'll be taking a look at your weekend box office top hits.
We've also got the scoop on your weekly video game news and releases with Mikey's Power Play. And don't forget your usuals, a look at what's happening around campus and the community.
Join us on Monday from 9 to 11 p.m. for Lions After Dark on your station, 88.9 KETR or KETR.org.
Hear coverage of the Texas A&M University Commerce Lions football season right here on your station. Each week, we'll bring you the call of the game with commentator J.P. Heath, plus stats, analysis, and much more. The Lions are hosting Eastern New Mexico on Saturday nights. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins, then the kickoff at 6 on 88.9 KETR.
And welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. For many of us, registering as an organ donor is a fairly comforting thing, knowing that after we've died, we can still impact the lives of others. But a select group takes it a step further, to become a living organ donor. Cindy Roller has the story of one Northeast Texan that made that sacrifice.
Jennifer Terry of Euless didn't realize when she chose to give birth to her son Jackson, She was choosing life, a life for herself. Terry suffers with polycystic kidney disease, and 3 years ago, following Jackson's birth, both of her kidneys failed and had to be removed. Terry's story made many turns, leading to her kidney transplant on Thursday, September 29th. It is a six-month journey leading back to Dana Ladd of Mount Vernon, a graduate of Texas A&M University in Commerce.
I just felt on my heart that I possibly could be a living donor,
said Ladd, an education consultant for Region 8, a coach's wife, and a mother of two sons. Terry was never supposed to have a child, but when she found out she was pregnant, her strong faith pushed her to put his life above her own. Jackson's father, Blake Ladd, played a crucial role in the faith of his child's mother. Dana Ladd is Jackson's aunt, a relative that Terry said she barely knew until the hospital told her Ladd had gotten tested and come up a perfect match.
You know, every time I would pray for Jennifer, I was thinking a person dying. Mm-hmm. That's really what I thought. Mm-hmm.
Explained Ladd, a lifelong believer in organ donation. A living donor story on the news spurred Ladd's research, finding out 95% of recipients will live a full life with a living donor. She said ultimately, Jackson put it all in perspective.
She has two. We share at school. So in the eyes of a child, and that's really how I view it, we're just sharing. I'm giving her half of my sandwich.
It was quite a journey for the Ladd family. She said it just the paperwork alone took a week to complete. She was pleased to score 100% in one kidney and 110% in the other. However, she still had her concerns. Her youngest son, Jonathan, is a senior and plays football for Mount Vernon, and her husband, Stephen, coaches. And as a former cheerleader, she didn't want to miss any games or be a burden on her family or her oldest son, Christian. Ladd was hoping the transplant could take place during the summer and recalled thinking,
I was like, okay, God, I can donate it, but here's the time frame.
When it didn't, she consoled herself with the support of her family and many others and made the Mount Vernon Tigers open date their new goal.
Everything just worked out. The hurdles I had to go through, the waiting that I had to, it all eventually just worked out.
Baylor Hospital only performs two transplants every Thursday.
It was a miracle they had a time slot open on our open day.
Ladd reported her doctor said the work she did eating right and exercising in preparation for the transplant made a big difference in her recovery. Her only real side effect is making sure she stays hydrated with water. Ladd was in a fairly non-invasive surgery for just over 2 hours and released on the following Saturday, while Terry was released on the following Monday. Eventually, Ladd's one kidney will function as well as the two did.
It's just been a great thing for me. Mm-hmm. You know, being a living donor may not be for everyone, but I think there's people out there that could be considering or maybe never heard of it. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people to do your, you know, check the research. And because the success rate, especially at Baylor, the success rate is very high, extremely high, with their patients mm-hmm. that do not have problems after mm-hmm. surgery. Very happy with everything that I received at Baylor.
Before the surgery, Terry lived a life in which her days consisted of 3 hours of dialysis, completely wiping her out of energy. Terry has since moved on and is making plans to marry Stephen Rothus. The couple plans to wed on September 29th, 2012, her one-year anniversary of the transplant.
And I will be at the wedding, and in fact, my father-in-law is performing the ceremony.
Yet these two ladies have a stronger bond than any marriage. They've even created a Facebook page entitled Jennifer Dana Transplant, documenting their journey. Is being a living donor her way of saving a life?
And I would do it again in a heartbeat. So it's just been an amazing journey all the way around.
I'm Cindy Roller for the Cooper Review and KETR News.
Thanks, Cindy. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. And remember, if you have a Friday feature story idea for the program, we'd love to hear from you. Please send your ideas to scott@ketr.org. And due to time constraints, we're going to have to wrap things up here on the program now. We usually go over the community events calendar. We encourage you to visit our website for more information, ketr.org/events. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Doug Weiberg and Chet Hillier, the president and vice president of the Red River Valley Veterans Memorial, currently under construction in Paris. A reminder that the USA show for the troops is Saturday, November 12th from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Civic Center Pavilion. You can also learn more at www.rrvvm.com. We'll be back same time next Friday at 10 a.m. and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Remember, you can hear archives of this show on our website, ketr.org. That's ketr.org in the main section there. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.